the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the only true and living God, the one who died to give life to the world. Amen. Jeremiah. Jeremiah is very troubled in his soul and spirit. He lives a life of lamenting from the time God called him as a youth to be his prophet. The life of God's prophets is never easy, but for Jeremiah, his heart was continuously broken from not being allowed to marry the love of his life, to witnessing Israel's refusal to repent, to being buried in mud at the bottom of a well, to seeing his beloved city Jerusalem under siege. Jeremiah's heart was broken. Mourning, grief, and tears were Jeremiah's constant companions. And according to the way we humans think, Jeremiah's life was more mess than success. He was to proclaim the word of the Lord in a place where all sense of the sacred and of God's holiness had been lost. I'm reminded here of one of the foremost theological scholars in the world today. Dr. John Kleinig recounts a conversation he had with a young man from a foreign country who attended a seminary in the United States of America to secure his doctoral degree. After graduating, he was asked by Dr. Kleinig as to what was his greatest impression of American culture. After thinking for a few seconds, the young man responded, "John, for them, nothing is sacred any longer." John, for them, nothing is sacred any longer. I will never forget that quote. It is true, and it is sad. Such a sad pronouncement over the most powerful, richest country in the history of the world. You see, such was also the case with Israel and Judah at the time of Jeremiah. For Judah and Jeremiah in Jerusalem, nothing was sacred any longer. They had lost all sense of the holiness of God. And with that loss came a rejection of the word of God and the influx of great webs of idolatry. Webs of idolatry woven by the devil himself and the unbelief he spins with his lies. So, in 586 B.C., Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians along with the magnificent temple of King Solomon. And it seems that 60 or so years in exile in Babylon restored some of this sense of the sacred and of the holiness of God. And the exiles were returned to Jerusalem to rebuild, and rebuild they did. Rebuilt the city. Rebuilt the temple. And before long, they rebuilt their idolatrous ways. They again lost all sense of the sacred, of the holiness of God. They were entangled in vast webs of idolatry and unbelief. Time then passed in centuries. 3+ centuries passed. And in 167 B.C., Antiochus Epiphanes committed the abomination that caused desolation in the temple by erecting an altar to Zeus over the altar of burnt offerings. And he sacrificed a pig on the altar. God could not abide in such a place and did not abide in such a place. By the time of Jesus' coming, the temple was a den of thieves, corrupt, uninhabitable by God or his people. A new temple was needed, and that new temple walked into Jerusalem from Nazareth, tied by leather straps into the sandals of Jesus, Son of Mary, Son of God. This was a temple of flesh and blood, built and inhabited by God. Some of the sacred things of God would be demonstrated in power and glory in the towns and villages, on the lakes and the mountains, in the dining rooms of sinners, at weddings and funerals, at the cross and the empty tomb, and finally, ascending into heaven. But God was not present in the Holy of Holies of the stone temple. He was present in the flesh among sinners who were fleshy and fleshly and carnal like we are. Shocking. Shocking. So it was that the new temple walked to the house of Jairus to heal Jairus' daughter. Peter and James and John followed Jesus to Jairus' house along with Jairus and his servant. And on the way, it was reported that the little girl was dead. Jesus was in no hurry on the way. He knew he had authority over death. There was no reason to hurry. And he paused to praise the faith of a woman who touched his garments, believing that she would be healed. And she was healed. No hurry, no worry. God is present. There were those who said that the little girl was dead, so there was no reason for Jesus to even go to Jairus' house now. He simply said, "Do not fear, only believe." Walking through mourners at Jairus' house, Jesus told them that the little girl was not dead, but only sleeping, and they mocked him, laughed at him. So he took Jairus and his wife and three disciples to the little girl's room, and taking her by the hand, Jesus said to her, "Talitha kumi, little one, arise." And she arose and began walking around as any 12-year-old would do. And Jesus told them to give her something to eat. They were amazed. And so are you amazed this morning? You should be. Or have we lost all sense of the sacred? Have we lost all sense of the holiness of God? We should be amazed. For you and I were dead in sin, proclaimed guilty along with the rest of the world by God. All are sinners. All are pronounced guilty by God. We were dead, spiritually dead, when we were born into this world. We had body and soul, but we were spiritually dead. But Jesus came to your house. He did. Your fleshly, carnal house. Jesus visited you. Even though the devil and his demons said that you were dead and that death owned you, in the waters of holy baptism, Jesus raised you from the dead. He put the name and seal of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit upon you. And he said, "Talitha kumi, arise, little one." And he said to you, "Arise from the depths of spiritual death." In the waters of baptism, you have died with him. In the waters of baptism, you have been raised from the depths of unbelief to new spiritual life. In other words, you now have faith in him that God has given to you. And he says to you, "Do not fear, just believe." And there are many things to fear. But you've begun walking in faith. And he's told his disciples and pastors to give you something to eat. And they don't give you just any food, not just any old bread, not just any old wine. They give you the choicest bread from the tree of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. They give you the staff of life eternal. They give you blood and wine that was sprinkled on the mercy seat of God's heart to atone for the sins of the world, and is now sprinkled on your heart to forgive your sins and to ease your troubled consciences. Take and eat. This is my body given unto death for you. Take and drink. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. He gives you solid spiritual food in His church, just as He gives you solid physical food in His creation. I pray that God would restore a sense of the sacred, a sense of the holiness of God, even fear and trembling, if necessary, to the members of First Lutheran Church. Talitha Kumi. Talitha Kumi. Talitha Kumi, arise, eat and drink. Your Lord comes to you. Don't worry about the mockers and unbelievers. Don't worry about them. Do not fear. Just believe. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.